three things. The final frontier.
The revolution will be broadcast.
How you doing?
How you doing?
There is a fine line between genius and
three things.
Hey, kid!
There's a touch of madness around.
Three things.
Well, welcome back, partner.
With my little stick and my highly evolved brain, I shall create
three things.
Stay where you are. I prefer to handle this alone.
Alert the troops. We attack
three things
at dawn.
Well, this is all very sophisticated.
If you believe in miracles, love at first sight, and breakfast in bed, contact me for adventures in
three things.
How may I, in all humble servitude, be of assistance?
Three things. Three things. Three things.
Behold the glory that is
three things.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi. Hello. Greetings, fellow babies. It's so good to have you here with me today. I, of course, am your humble hostess, Jenna. I'm glad you joined me today because I have some pretty good advice about leaving the lovin', some pretty silly names to share, and a really neat segment about everybody's new best friend, the cell phone. I also have the usual GWOD and TDIHs for you. I love those. If you do too, or if you have a suggestion for a new segment, just leave me a comment or email or use that phone thingy there on the homepage of the show, threethings.podomatic.com. As always, comments and suggestions are well appreciated, so you should leave them. All right, begging for attention complete. Now let's get on with the show. And thing number one for today. After that bit about dating on a recent show, I was asked by more than a few listeners to do something about how to end a relationship. I was pleased and quite willing to comply, so here we go. So you're in a relationship with somebody that you no longer romantically are interested in, and you are in a quandary as to what to do about it. Well, it's time to be honest, and here's a couple of ways to do that nicely. There's only one way to break up with someone. Do it in person. Don't be a coward. Don't be creepy. Just buck up and say it with your mouth. Don't use Yahoo Messenger. Don't bleep them on AOL. Don't send them some ludicrous and cruel email or e-card. Tell them to their face and keep some self-respect and dignity, okay? All right then, so you're going to tell them face to face. That's good. Now where are you going to do it? Well, some suggest that when breaking up, you invite them out for lunch or dinner where you first met, or a place you go often together. The symbolism of things having come full circle, you see, will not be lost on both of you during your talk. When you tell them, be serious. Say it like you mean it. Oh, and also, don't make them pay for their own meal. That's just wrong somehow. Since they might get emotional when you tell them, you might want to break up with them somewhere away from the really public eye. And when breaking up, just come clean. Get it all out. There isn't any room for fiddling around, and it will only make matters worse and make you both very unhappy. Try to be positive about it all. Everyone thinks that their own breakup is unique and probably is the worst in all of time and the universe, but the truth is that breakups are always the same, and somehow life goes on. You'll meet new people, go new places, eat new foods, and your breakup will eventually be just a memory and a few pictures and maybe ticket stubs to mark your checkered and colorful love life. So, okay, you're going to do the breakup face-to-face and in a nice place, and that's great. But how to say it now? We'll try on some of these lines for size. They're short, they're sweet, and they're to the point. It's been great to get to know you, but we just don't click. I hope we run into each other now and then. I've enjoyed our times together, but not enough to keep going out. I hope you meet someone better for you real soon. It was fun seeing you, but let's stop it here. I don't think we're right for each other, and it's probably best to just stop while we're ahead. See ya. I've really enjoyed talking with you about the stuff we both like, but I don't think that's enough to make a relationship, so I think we should stop dating. I like you, and that's why I'm telling you this. I won't be calling again, but I hope to bump into you sometime. Be careful. Not only are these things pretty easy to say, they also make your partner, soon to be ex-partner, feel as if they weren't completely rejected, and the possibility of a friendship might still remain. Whatever you do, don't make the mistake of simply not returning calls and hiding from them. You wouldn't like someone doing that to you, would ya? And hey, maybe you're one of those people that are just too cool, too original, too cunning or witty or saucy, or too mean to break up with your current through a regular old face-to-face conversation? Well, if you are, then check out these creative ways to dump someone. Whether you're passive-aggressive or just plain old aggressive, one of these is bound to work for your loser of a boyfriend or your leech of a girlfriend. Write a letter ostensibly written by the dumpy's stuff that's still over at your place. Most people who are dating leave some belongings at their boy or girlfriend's house so you can pretend like these objects are alive, like in that movie with the dancing dishes and candles and things. Yeah, and have them do your breakup for you. Here's an example. Dear Bobby, your CD player here. You know, the one you keep leaving over at Jill's? Listen. The blow dryer and I were talking, and it seems that Jill's gonna dump you here pretty quick, because she's not really into you, buddy. Anyway, I don't fancy defenestration, so why don't you just come and get me as soon as you can? Jill seems pretty serious about all this breaking up stuff. Don't forget me. Signed, CD player. Of course, your soon-to-be ex will probably think you a complete nut, but maybe that's not so bad, huh? For someone you're dumping just because they are a big whiny baby, give them something else to play with instead of you. Wrap up a little toy dump truck and tell them to use it to bulldoze all those memories of you and make some room for someone new in their life. Hey, hire a stripper to deliver your message. This will remind the dumpy of their new sexual freedom. You can simply take off while someone else takes it off for your boyfriend or girlfriend, who won't be a boyfriend or girlfriend much longer. Feeling bad for the twerp you're about to kick to the curb? Set him up with a blind date. You can even arrange to meet at a favorite restaurant or bar like it's just a regular night out, then quickly tell the dumpy they're dumped and introduce the new blind date. Then just hand him over while you head for the door. It's a nice way to say thanks for all the fun, but bye-bye. How's this? Say you're bored with them? With a board. A billboard. If they're good enough for God and car dealerships, then billboards are good enough for you too. Just don't make your message too racy or explicit. No one needs that. If you're stuck with one of those clingy, smothery types, you may need to show them just how smothered you feel. Take them to the Waffle House and order smothered hash browns with onions, because you can do that because you probably won't be kissing anymore. Use a plate of smothered potatoes to illustrate your own smothering. If you are really smothered by them, you can belabor the point in a really snotty way with lots of cheese and lots of chili. There might not be Waffle Houses wherever you are, but you can probably get hashed potatoes anywhere. Just cover them up with lots of stuff and hop into that old symbolism. Or try this. Buy a bunch of those self-help books about breaking up and leave them all over the place, marked up and dog-eared and lying open. Leave them on the nightstand, the kitchen counter, between the cushions of the couch, open on the back of the toilet in the bathroom. You get the point. And unless your boyfriend or girlfriend is illiterate and completely dense as a brick, this should pretty much get your point across without much real work. If the two of you courted in a more old-fashioned way, with a series of polite dates and formality all over the place, why not dump them with an equally old-school gesture, a telegram? American Telegram still offers this service for a fee of $39.95 plus 89 cents per word. You can have the third party deliver a two-word, you're dumped, message in a yellow envelope. The grand total of this would be $41.73, and totally worth it, just because it's cool. If you've just had a breakup or been the dumpy and are feeling a little down, you're not alone. Just about everyone experiences a breakup at some time, and many have had to deal with heartbreak, and that's okay, and there are ways to get through it. Most people will probably tell you to get over it, you'll meet somebody else, but when it's happening to you, it can feel like no one else in the world has ever felt as badly. If you're experiencing these feelings, there are things you can do to lessen the pain. Here are some things that might help. Share your feelings. Remember what's good about you. Take good care of yourself. Don't be afraid to cry. Do the stuff you always do and normally enjoy. Keep yourself busy. give yourself lots of time, and be patient with yourself and let the healing begin. It will come, the healing, and you will be okay in time. And if you feel lonely and sad, you can always come listen to the show and have a little laugh with me, Jenna. At very least, you might learn a really long word to toss about for a momentary feeling of power. That's always a good bolster to the old ego, right? Okay then, there's some advice for you about breaking it off. If you have to do it, and I hope you don't, I hope this helps you. And if it's done to you, I still hope this helps, yeah. Maybe I'll do a spot on how to get a little revenge on an ex on one of these shows coming up here. Think that's a good idea? Then leave a comment for me. You know how to do it. That's right, homepage of the show, 3things.podomatic.com. And that's it, at least for now, for relationships, and for thing one, for today. Now for my, and quite a few of you listeners, favorite news segment, This Day in History. Today, of course, being September 29th. That means that on this day in 1511, Michael Servetus Spain, physician, was born, and so was, in 1755, Robert Lord Clive. He's the guy that founded the British Empire in India. And on this day in 1758, we saw the arrival of Horatio Nelson Burnham Thorpe of Britain, the naval hero at Trafalgar. In 1895, Joseph Banks Ryan Penn, parapsychologist and the ESP guy, was born, ESP being, of course, extrasensory perception. I wonder if he knew he was about to be born. In 1901, Enrico Fermi of Italy, a physicist who won the Nobel Prize in 1938, came into the world. And born on this day in 1943, Lech Walesa of Poland. That's the guy that led the Polish Solidarity Movement and won the Nobel Prize for that in 1983. As for people who died on this day, in 1895, Louis Pasteur died. That's a great guy, huh? We owe him a lot, good milk being one of those things. And in 1978, Pope John Paul I died. On this day, history-wise, in the year 235, Saint Pontianus ended his reign as Catholic Pope, and in 855, Benedict III began his reign as Catholic Pope. In 1364, at the Battle of Auray, English forces defeated the French at Brittany. In 1650, Henry Robinson opened the first marriage bureau in all of England. In 1789, the first Congress adjourned and the U.S. War Department established a regular army. In 1793, tennis was first mentioned in an English sporting magazine. In 1829, Scotland Yard was formed in London. In 1853, immigrant ship Annie Jane sank off of Scotland, drowning 348 people. Man. In 1890, the first professional baseball game, the New York Metropolitans beat the Washington Nationals 4-2 in 5 innings at the Polo Grounds in New York City. In 1936, radio was used for the first time in a United States presidential campaign. In 1940, the first U.S. merchant ship, the Booker T. Washington, was commanded by a black captain, a man by the name of Hugh Mulzack, and launched at Wilmington, Delaware. And in 1943, Eisenhower and Italian Marshal Pietro Bodaglio signed an armistice. And 1951 saw the first color telecast of a football game on network in Philadelphia. Also in 1951, S.B. Nelson discovered the 12th satellite of Jupiter. In 1953, the Milton Berle Show premiered. You know what they say about Milton Berle, don't ya? He was an awfully nice man, that's what they say. In 1962, the first Canadian satellite, the Alouette 1, aboard a U.S. Delta rocket, was launched. In 1963, the second session of the Ecumenical Council, Vatican II, opened in Rome. In 1963 as well, the Rolling Stones started their first tour as an opening act for Bo Diddley and the Everly Brothers. In 1973, Soyuz 12, after a very successful mission, returned to Earth. And in 1977, the Soviet space station Salyut 6 was launched into Earth orbit. In 1979, Pope John Paul II became the first pope ever to visit Ireland. In 1988, the 26th space shuttle mission, Discovery 7, was launched. In 1988 as well, UN peacekeeping forces won the Nobel Peace Prize. And I thought it was cool then, and I think it's cool now. As for holidays on this day, only one I could find, that's in Brunei, and it's Constitution Day. Religious history, a little interesting. In 1770, the day before his death at age 56, English revivalist George Whitefield prayed, "Lord Jesus, I am weary in thy work, but not of it." In 1970, the New American Bible was published by the St. Anthony Guild Press. It represented the first English version of the Roman Catholic Bible to be translated from the original Biblical Greek and Hebrew languages. And finally, in 1990, on this day, September 29th, in Washington, D.C., USA, the National Cathedral, officially the Cathedral Church of St. Peter and St. Paul, was completed after 83 years of construction. Begun in 1907, the Gothic edifice had been used in its incomplete form since 1912. So that's about all I've got for this day in history. Hope you enjoyed it, found maybe one of those interesting little facts interesting. Join me for the next TDIH, which will be October 6th, on the show next week. Thank you. And now for the grandiloquent word of the day. I just love this segment. Today is September 29th, 2006. That means that I'm on show number 35. So the word for today starts with the letter I. That word for today is illeism, and it is spelled I-L-L-E-I-S-M, and it is the practice of referring to oneself as he or she or by one's own name. In other words, referring to oneself in the third person. As to the etymology of the word illeism, it derives from the Latin ille, meaning that, with an ism stuck on the end. Used in a sentence for you, I know a crazy guy in chat that practices illeism, and it makes me feel like smacking him. It really does make you want to smack a hoe. And it doesn't make him sound as smart as he seems to think it does either, the goofball. So anyway, there you are, your grandiloquent word of the day today, illeism. Go to the Grandiloquent Dictionary online, following the link on the homepage of the show, threethings.podomatic.com, and find yourself a few new big shiny words to use. It can never hurt.
You hear it every day.
I don't want my kid to grow up and be a big fat Japanese wrestler.
He's a sumo!
Sumo!
The problem is sumo phobia.
They're disgusting!
We must remember, what one man does with a rump roast in the privacy of his own home should not affect our opinions.
I don't know, it's just not natural for a guy to wear his hair in a bun like that.
Sumophobia is an irrational fear of nearly nude fat men in diapers. But by learning about our sumo friends, we can conquer our fear and live together.
I tell you one thing, I don't want my son living in some army barracks with a bunch of sumos.
We have so much to learn. For more information about sumophobia, write for our free, informative booklet, Johnny's Daddy Has a Wedgie. We all want to avoid sumo bashing. Because it hurts.
And now, thing number three today, all about cell phones. Did you know that each minute that elapses between an emergency phone call and the hospital can mean the difference between life and death for heart attack patients? To minimize that time, there's a new technology that will allow paramedics to perform electrocardiograms, or EKGs, and transmit the results instantly to their emergency center. The minute an ambulance arrives, paramedics can perform an EKG, and then using wireless technology, technicians can send the results by cell phone to their hospital's emergency room while the ambulance is still on the road. Problems with these cell phone adapters had plagued the reliability of the system. Now, however, with newly installed Bluetooth technology, paramedics can communicate diagnostic quality EKG results directly to the hospital system, which then sounds an alarm for the staff. Imagine being able to minimize the damage caused by a heart attack and how many more folk would still be walking, huh? As cell phones evolve to include souped-up games, streaming video, and MP3 players, some people are working to develop cheap wireless sensors that, once fitted inside cell phones, could sniff out anything from biological weapons to traffic patterns. While these sensors might not be a typical cell phone add-on, those involved in research claim the sheer number of mobile phones in use could make such a system a boon for worldwide data collection and problem solving. Wireless sensors are already used throughout the world to track things like landslides and pollution. These can be expensive, though, thanks to the cost for batteries and radios. As a result, the cost of deploying wireless sensors can be prohibitive in cash-strapped developing countries, where pollution and traffic are rising and changing, and arguably most in need of measurement. Enter cell phones, which already come equipped with a radio mechanism and battery, and increasingly include GPS capabilities. About 2 billion people will be cell phone subscribers by the end of 2006. Why not harness that power to keep an eye on and even fix anything from traffic congestion to disease to radiation? Right now, a phone is being put together with a carbon monoxide sensor. This type of sensor is being used first because they're easy to find, inexpensive, and reliable. Because carbon monoxide can be lethal in high doses, monitoring for its presence could immediately help save lives. Eventually, the hope is that one or more sensors could be fitted inside cell phones, so Big Brother can watch. not really. Tex believed a sensor would only add about a dollar or so to the cost of a phone. In most carjackings, you are told to get out of your car and then are forced into the trunk. The criminals who do this are generally in a hurry, and they're not going to take the time to search the trunk of your vehicle for hidden cellular phones. And they're not going to rummage in the trunk with you being out of their direct line of sight, either. Even a non-activated cell phone can contact 911 in America. People have been saved by having cell phones in their car. If a cheap cell hidden in my trunk might save my life, I'm getting one now. So you're standing around and somebody is suddenly seriously wounded near you. What do you do? What is the right thing to do before trained help arrives? Can you help alleviate the person's suffering till it gets there? Well, Bidos, a young German medical technology company, has come up with an idea for mobile phones. Bidos has developed an application entitled M-Aid, which can be downloaded onto one's cell phone for a fee of 5 euros, or about $6, and is thus on hand at all times. For the moment, the application is only available in German, but translations into other languages are in the works. Another such application already exists and was written up last year. First aid help on your cell phone. That's right, MobiMedic is an interactive mobile phone utility that can be used as a first aid guide. That's great. It's a mobile application to guide you in case of a medical emergency just by following the guidelines that pop up on your cell phone screen. American border rescue groups say desert cell phone towers could save lives. All they need are more cell towers spaced across the hot, hot deserts that immigrants must cross to get into the United States, where many die, often leaving cell phones and batteries behind them. They couldn't call for help because they had no signal. Just because they are entering a country illegally, many think, doesn't mean that those that watch them can't help them. Although it's too early to know the cost of building additional cell phone towers, or who would fit the bill, the Department of Homeland Security and Pima County, one of the biggest stakeholders in this, weigh the benefits in human lives and, towers, humans. Guess who's going to win? Guess who should win? In addition to reducing the amount of migrant deaths, wider cell phone coverage would also give added protection to the Border Patrol agents themselves and recreational travelers in desert areas. Officials would like to see the new towers in place by next summer, and they also want public education programs in Mexico to advise people not to cross without a cell phone. Officials insist that putting up more cell phone towers will not open the door for more illegal entrants to cross into the United States, but that it could save some lives. Well, isn't that a whole new light shed on the ever-growing in popularity cell phone? It just makes me want to hug them, the handy little devils. I mean, I always knew they were handy to have around, like when my kid has to call me for permission to get a pickle. But this life-saving capacity, well, it's just a grand, grand thing. Also, I can't wait until all this cell technology is small enough to fit on my wrist. That way, I won't lose the damn thing all the time. Like I'm about to lose the thread of this thing number 3, for today.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them catch them unawares and see them picnic on their holiday. They never have any teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them catch them unawares and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gather about. They love to play and shout. They never have any cares. At 6 o'clock, their mommies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. Because they're tired little teddy bears.
Well, they're there. That's that for that then. As always, this episode of Three Things was brought to you by my wallet, my brain, and my, some people say, odd sense of humor. I being Jenna, of course, your hostess, pod jockette, PJ, DJ, whichever pleases you. I really hope you enjoyed it, or learned something from it, or were inspired in some way. That is ever the goal, right? So then, until we meet again next week, for episode 36 of Three Things, and I really hope you come back to listen again, check the Grandiloquent Dictionary online, link to that from the homepage of this show, get a cell phone in that car of yours maybe, dump a lover creatively maybe, giggle a little I hope, and remember, leave yourself a sticky note on the fridge, write it in lipstick on the mirror, set yourself a reminder on your phone, tie a string on your finger to remember if you have to, but always remember to forgive yourself and be very happy. Good day.
That was so thrilling.
Missed it by that much.
Happy trails, Spaz.
Yada, yada, yada. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people.
Three Things
Incorporated. Done, sold, Bob's your uncle.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
We got it! We got it! Yes!
Now it's your turn.
Make love and be merry, for tomorrow you may catch some disgusting skin disease.
Goodbye, good luck, and good riddance.
I will accept nothing less than
Three Things.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, this is dreadful.
I'm chanting as we speak. Bye-bye, darling.
Dismiss. Shove off, you old trout.
That wasn't flying.
Three Things.
That was falling with style.
And I didn't like it one bit. It was disgusting and violent. I think all you people are despicable. I say!
We're putting that bitch on ice.
I promise nothing.
Back to the lock with ye, Nessie.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
All right, that's it for me. You've been great.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Bye.